You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
George Kittle, the 49ers tight end, on the program. And what does it seem like? It was a year ago you were in the Super Bowl?
I think it was about a year ago, yeah.
What were you doing a year ago on this day, like Wednesday of Super Bowl week? Do you remember?
I was probably talking to you because we had to do media every single day.
Hmm. Is that bothersome? Or how bothersome in retrospect?
Well, like, you know, in a normal game week, you only have to, like, talk to, you know, your local media, like, once a week, or they're in the locker room 2 days a week, 3 days a week. We don't have to talk to them every single day. But, like, going on a podium, like, 4 days a week, and, I mean, you can only get asked so many questions during Super Bowl week, right?
Yeah. Well, what was the strangest question you got?
I got asked to swear in German by the same guy like four times, and he kept like giving me a piece of paper with swear words on it in German, and I was like, I don't know what you want me to do with this dude. I'm just trying to be nice and polite here, man. Can you stop asking me to swear on TV?
Yeah, but see, that's where your personality comes back to haunt you, because everybody thinks, oh, George Kittle, he'll have fun, he'll say something silly. So
I potentially would, but not in German. I don't know how to speak that language.
What do you remember most about the game against the Chiefs?
I mean, I remember all of it.
Was there one thing that just stands out that you go, damn?
I mean, after they scored to get it like within 3 points, we had a three and out the next drive, which I can't really do that when their momentum shifting. That was kind of the downhill after that.
I saw a special where Peyton Manning is breaking down Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. And if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs offense, there's so many things going on in that offense. Mm-hmm. Now, you're on the sidelines watching it, but how different is that from any other team in the NFL with what they do on offense?
I mean, I think it's both of what they do, but also who they have. I mean, you got weapons all over the field, and they have a great offense coordinator that's, you know, getting them in the right positions, and then they got a great quarterback, you know, leading the way. So it's their weapons and then also their scheme. They just got guys moving around, guys are always open, and then at the end of the day, they have guys that just make the tough play, and that's what good football is.
When did you realize that you were going to lose the Super Bowl?
When the clock hit zero.
That was it?
I mean, when we, we had an interception at the very end of the game, so we were down two scores, like 30 seconds left. Yeah, I mean, that's not a very fun feeling.
This is National Signing Day. Take us back to what National Signing Day was for George Kittle going to Iowa?
I didn't know I was going to Iowa yet. I was probably going to gray shirt there, or my only other offers were Weber State and Air Force and Navy. And so I wasn't entirely sure what I was doing. And then Kirk Ferentz called me at like 11 a.m. or 12, and he's like, hey, we have an extra scholarship that just opened up. Do you want to come play at Iowa? And I was like, damn straight I do.
So you couldn't even do three hats in the gymnasium and say, I'm going to – didn't you – you could have put two hats out there. You didn't even have enough offers for three hats?
I had three. I had Navy. Okay. Weber State, man, that's – hey, Damian Lillard went there. So cool.
Yeah, that was for basketball, not football. But, you know, you look back on that. Weren't you destined to go to Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, my dad played there. He coached there. Kirk Ferentz was my dad's offensive line coach. So, yeah, I mean, we had a couple connections there and just kind of played out the way. I think they had three guys that declared to go to other places on signing day. And so I got that last and final scholarship.
But when did it click where you go, you know what, I'm pretty good. I can play in the NFL.
I don't know, when I was like 3 years old. That's what I always wanted to do. And I've always done well at football. Like, I've always been able to make plays, but I really think going into my junior year, mentally it just everything clicked for me, and I realized that, you know, it's not high school. There's not like 10 plays that you're running. There's just a lot more to it than just showing up and playing football. And kind of clicked for me there, and then I had a really good spring ball transition to a good fall camp, and then good season, and just kind of carried on from there.
You think you're always going to have that comparison with Kelce, since I think you're both the same age? I mean, is that a good thing that, hey, you know, you're looking at Kelce's numbers, Kelce's looking at your numbers, or we're looking at both numbers here?
I mean, I just show up and I play football, and our numbers seem to be sometimes consistent with each other. I mean, he's having a hell of a year. breaking records and stuff like that and averaging like 150 a game. It feels like it's pretty awesome. But like I said, I just show up and play football, and then people like to compare us. It is what it is.
Yeah, but I think that you block like Gronk and you catch like Kelsey. I mean, that's great.
I try to play the tight end position the way it's supposed to be played.
But even with, you're supposed to say thank you for the compliment. That's the ultimate compliment. Come on, what's going on, George, here? I mean, I'm throwing out verbal bouquets here.
Oh, I appreciate it. You know, I don't take on the most, you know, I love compliments. I appreciate that. But like I said, I like to work hard. And as long as my teammates and then the rest of the league respects the way I'm playing the game, I'm doing all right.
What's the background there? You've spent no time on the background there.
Do you mean the piece next to me?
No, you got it. Like the shades are down. Is that like something's hanging up over your shoulder there?
That's my first Pro Bowl jersey.
Oh, a little tilt the camera that way. Let me see what that is. That's it. Okay. Anything else in there?
That's not a verbal compliment, Dan. That wasn't great. I'm moving houses, so I'll have all my jerseys right now. There's a wall right here full of like 12 jerseys from guys I like in the NFL. So, no, those will all be framed at some point.
Did anybody say no to you when you asked for a jersey?
I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of. I've actually been a couple, so that's pretty fun too.
Well, who did you get that might surprise me?
Who did I that might surprise you? I traded jerseys with Mike Evans at the Pro Bowl. That was pretty fun. Let's see, who else? Adrian Claiborne, he's an Iowa guy. And then the rest of them are basically tight ends. I just got a wall of tight ends. I got Bobby Wagner and Christian McCaffrey up top. But, I have like, 10 tight ends. I like to trade with every single tight end that I play because I love the position. I love everybody that plays it.
Where are you going to watch the game?
I think my house, wherever my wife tells me to.
Is she watching with you?
My whole family lives in Nashville, so we'll probably watch together.
Does she get nervous? What's she like when you're playing?
Let's see. She's usually very happy, and she loves football. She loves watching. She loves being in the stands. I think if I get tackled, she yells at me. I can hear that occasionally.
From the stands, she's yelling at you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What are you doing? I'm sorry. I'll try not to get tackled. My bad.
I know you're making a pitch with Bolt 24 by Gatorade, so fill us in.
Ooh, finally, Bolt 24, Gatorade. I got it right here with me. You can see it all around me.
Oh, wow. Product placement.
It's natural, right?
Yeah.
I'm really excited to work with Gatorade because it's a product that I've used my entire life since being a little kid. You know, I remember drinking Gatorade after like my little peewee football games. And so being and a chance to work with them is, it's kind of like a dream come true. Like I never didn't think that this was a possibility, but the Bolt 24, it's delicious. It's new. It's amazing. But really, I think my favorite part of it, it's healthier and it's made with watermelon water, no artificial flavors or sweeteners. And so I really like that. And it allows me to I can drink it whenever I want because it is healthier and I don't have to worry about anything. And just allows me to be the best athlete I can be every single day.
And I'll give you another compliment. I think Gronk could have delivered it that way. I think you did a great job delivering that, better than Gronk could have.
Hey, I appreciate that. You can take that up with him. I don't know if he'll agree with you, but he's a pretty
good guy. But since you love all tight ends, you got to pick one tight end to win the Super Bowl. Which tight end do you want to win the Super Bowl?
Which do I want to win? I mean, I want them both to win. I want them both to have 150 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's very unlikely, George. It's very unlikely they both will win.
I've seen that is unlikely. You're right.
It is.
That'd be tough. But say this is my thinking, Dan, and you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
The Chiefs are really good. They're clicking right now. Offense, defense.
Chiefs are
great.
Good. Hold on. Look, Paulie, would you write this down? George is giving me some real deep insights. The Chiefs are really good, and they're clicking.
They're really good. They're clicking.
Right now. Clicking.
But the Buccaneers have Tom Brady, and I just don't know how to ever go against Tom Brady in the playoffs and or Super Bowl.
Have you had a conversation with Tom?
No, I never had the opportunity to play him.
Oh, wow. See,
I talked to him on Instagram one time. I dropped my phone that he DM'd me, and I dropped my phone. Humble brag. I was like, holy cow.
You had your moment. Well, there's always – Yeah, well. Sorry about that. Hey, thanks for joining us as always. Hope the ankle is healing well, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate coming on.
And that's George Kittle, Niners tight end, and he got shut down in week 8 with an injury at Seattle. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We make way for Chase Young, great player for the Washington football team. You just reacted to that there, Chase. You surprised that Mahomes' dad is 50 and, you know, Brady's 43.
Yes, I just repeated it when you even said it. That's crazy.
But Tom's, what, twice as old as you?
Yeah.
But how strange is that? That you're, you know, when you faced him, you're looking at over the line of scrimmage, and you're like, that dude is 43.
You know, it's crazy. Ever since, you know, I was able to play Madden, he was on the game. it's crazy to play against, you know, somebody that's just been watching your whole life.
I love the confidence. You said you wanted Tom. Of course you want Tom. I mean, you're a competitor. I don't know why everybody thought, oh, be careful what you ask for. I'm like, no, bring it. Like, if you didn't want Tom, I would have questions about you, Chase.
Right, yeah. It's, you know, sometimes the media like to, you know, get what they can grab and, you know, just try to make a big story around it leading up to a big game. So, I even being a young player, you know, I know how they how that is. But, yeah, like you said, I'm a competitor and, you know, every quarterback I chase down. Every quarterback I play, I want to get.
Today's National Recruiting Day. Can you take us back – or signing day. Can you take us back to your National Signing Day?
It was at my high school actually. That's just we kind of do it after school. And our coach he went from person to person, and told everybody where we were going and full rise and just talking about the season and just you know, what we did in high school, but it was definitely a crazy time.
If you didn't go to Ohio State, where were you going?
Probably Bama.
No. Did you have to tell Nick Saban you weren't going to Alabama?
It was a family thing. I chose the school I was going to. I chose with my mom and my dad, so you know, just on what's best for me. And obviously I made the right choice.
Yeah, but you don't have to tell Coach Saban that, like, does he call and go, hey, Chase, come on, what are you doing? You coming with us? You rolling with us?
Nah. That's not even how it was really set up over there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Nick might have been tough to say no to if he's calling you on the phone, I'm guessing, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it Urban Meyer who recruited you?
Coach Meyer and Coach Johnson, Larry Johnson.
Oh, okay. How do you think Urban's going to do in the NFL, knowing his temperament, how he coached in college?
I think he's going to so Coach Meyer, he's a winner. One thing, you know, he's a winner and he hates losing. And, you know, I look back now I look back now and just realize just how great of a coach he was and how he pushed me. And I really didn't even know. But I feel like, you know, going to the league, he does not want to lose. He wants to win. So I know he's going to do everything he can to win. So whatever that's doing, I know he's going to take care of it. But I'm definitely excited to watch him on the next level. And I believe we might play them this coming up season.
Does he know how to stop you? Does he know the game plan here?
I've been punishing his offense.
I love it. He's Chase Young of the Washington football team. This story about you working out with Arnold Schwarzenegger before the NFL draft. Like, okay, how does this come up that you work? All of a sudden, the Terminator walks in, or you walk in and the Terminator's there?
It was kind of I walk in and, you know, he was there and we had worked out and it was really a lot of talking, just me picking his brain, just asking questions about everything and you know, now we're real good friends. And you know, while I'm out here in LA, I definitely plan to sing.
Who could lift more?
Oh, you know that answer. I mean, back then, I don't know. He was young. He probably got me for sure.
I'm just curious. You know, he used to be, you know, whatever, Mr. Olympia there a few times. So I'm guessing he could throw some iron around here, Chase.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Were you were in the school choir?
Yes.
Like, did you take it seriously?
I took it pretty serious.
Or did you go there just to meet girls?
Both.
Okay. Which did you do better? The girls or you're actually performing?
I mean, you know, with females, I never really had a super big problem. I was gonna say that. But, I definitely went there. I was, I would lead sing sometimes and do little solos in front of my whole school.
No kidding.
We would go to church, yeah. My course teacher was Miss Lynn. It was my my fifth grade teacher. So I would go and I would sing up there sometimes by myself during school. So,
do you want to sing the national anthem?
I probably could.
Well, no. Do you want to? Because I can make some calls.
Oh yeah.
I know people.
I'm gonna catch you on the rebound.
Okay,
now.
All right. I'm just saying, if you want to sing the anthem, and yeah, you know what, maybe you could do it for a Washington Nationals game. Doesn't even have to be for the football game. You could off season. Yeah, yeah. I think that'd be pretty good. You face Tampa this year. If you were going to give some advice to Honey Badger or Chris Jones, what would you say?
I mean, them two guys, you know, I don't even think I have to give too much advice to them. I mean, I know the Honey, but I know Tyran watching them. I know Big Chris, he gonna do what he do in them trenches. He been doing what he doing since he stepped in the league. So, you know, I say Tom, he can get the ball out quick. So definitely for Tyran, you know, whatever you do, keep doing it.
You're joining us on behalf of Old Spice. Give us an idea. Let me hear your sales pitch here.
For sure. So, you know, obviously it's been a tough year for everybody and dealing with this COVID and, you know, just everybody's schedules are just everywhere. But, you know, so I teamed up with Old Spice, and they're coming out with a new line. It's called the Dynasty line. And basically, I just put some on. It smelled good. it's a real good scent. And it's that scent that will give you just a burst of confidence and just have you ready to smell ready for anything. I love it.
How often do you face a lineman who needs Old Spice?
Probably every game. Probably after that last play, they definitely did something. Myself included.
Yeah. Hey, congrats on the season and good luck in the off season there. And we appreciate your time, Chase.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Chase Young. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. National Signing Day. And Brandon Huffman, he is the 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Editor, here to talk about just how good this Alabama recruiting class was, and is it truly generational? And Brandon joins us now. Brandon, thanks for joining us. Where does this Alabama recruiting class rank?
Well, it just clinched the top overall spot in the history of 24/7 Sports recruiting rankings, and they still may not be done. They're still in contention for the number one player in the country, but as of this morning, they have already inked with the pen putting paper the number one class in the history of recruiting, with some of the most elite talent that you've seen. It's on par with their 2017 class that they signed, with Devontae Smith and Najee Harris. But this class might be Nick Saban's best class that he's ever signed, which is saying something considering the success he's had in Tuscaloosa.
The best recruiting class prior to Alabama this year was turned in by Florida.
Yeah, Florida in 2010. And you could say that might have been the class that broke Urban Meyer at Florida and caused him to eventually walk away from that job. This class looks a little bit less risky than that Florida 2010 class did, and a lot of guys that I expect to play right away. But it wasn't just guys on the offensive line, defensive line, as Nick Saban always does. He gets players at every key position, and that's why this class ranks so high.
Where did you guys have Patrick Mahomes when he was coming out of high school?
So he was ranked as a high three-star coming out in that 2014 class behind guys like Kyle Allen, Keller Chris, who at the time was committed to Stanford, was being touted as the next Andrew Luck. Mahomes was kind of forgotten a little bit. Part of that reason was there was still a thinking that he might go the baseball route. There wasn't even certainty he was going to be a football player. Baseball was still looming there as a potential threat for him, but he was a high three-star and ultimately made a lot of people look really foolish with that decision.
And Trevor Lawrence was number one, and here he is going to go number one in the draft. Justin Fields was two in that recruiting class, and he'll be a first-round draft pick. So, you know, we hit and miss at that position, but you're no different than the general managers in the NFL.
Sure, and I think with what when you look at that Lawrence-Fields class, I mean, there was debate for part of that year who was better. Trevor Lawrence started out as the number one player. Justin Fields moved ahead. Ultimately, with Trevor Lawrence, it looks like he's going to be the number one pick in the 2021 draft. But those two were as good of a 1-2 punch as you've ever seen. And now, 3 years later, we look good on that. But there have been plenty of classes where you had guys, the 2013 class with Max Brown and Christian Hackenberg. Those look like the safest 1-2 punch. Max Brown never really got it going at USC or at Pitt. Christian Hackenberg had an up and down career. So you have your misses. You want to follow those misses up with hits rather than go the other direction.
Give me the couple of names at that position that we'll be talking about in 2 years.
Well, the two top quarterbacks in the country are Caleb Williams, who's the number one dual threat quarterback out of Washington, D.C. He's already at Oklahoma, going in with the understanding that Spencer Rattler is going to be the starter at least in 2021, and then Williams will have a chance to compete for that job. And then the number one pro-style quarterback is a familiar name to fans out west in the name of Sam Heward, quarterback out of Kennedy Catholic High School in Burien, Washington. His father, Damon, former NFL quarterback. His uncle, Brock, former NFL quarterback. Both of his dad and his uncle played quarterback at the University of Washington. He actually committed to the Huskies 2 years ago when Chris Peterson was still the head coach, stayed with that commitment to Washington despite some late overtures from USC and some other schools. So he's a guy that even with Dylan Morris starting this year as a freshman, I wouldn't be surprised if he competes for the starting job, whereas Caleb Williams, like a couple of the Oklahoma quarterbacks before him, probably has to wait at least a year before we start to become with the next Lincoln Riley sensation.
Where is the number one recruit on 24/7 going?
Well, that's a very good question. We're still trying to figure that out, and it's probably going to be 2 months. That player is JT Tuimoloau out of Eastside Catholic in Sammamish, Washington. He, on the early signing period, named his final five of Alabama, Ohio State, Washington, Oregon, and USC. So you have three Pac-12 schools relatively close to home, one being the hometown Huskies, another being Oregon, which is just down the road, USC, where his family is largely from Southern California. Then you have the two teams playing for the national championship. And it's really been those two teams out in front for him, Alabama and Ohio State. Part of the reason he's waiting is with the NCAA dead period, he has never had a chance to visit Columbus. He still has not been out to Ohio State. He did camp at Alabama when he was a sophomore. So he wants to get back down to Tuscaloosa and get out to Columbus with his family to see both those schools. He's more familiar with the Pac-12 schools, but we're at least 2 months away from him making a decision. Ohio State, Alabama play for the national championship. Now they're playing to see who gets the number one overall player. But those three Pac-12 schools trying to get relevance back into the conference are hoping he decides to stay closer to home.
Brandon, we talk about this on the show occasionally, Ole Miss, Tennessee, where sometimes you don't expect a school to have a really, really good recruiting class. And when you do that, all of a sudden, that's when people start to notice. Did anybody have an out of the ordinary recruiting class this year? You know, Tennessee had it last spring. They paid the price this year. Anybody that you look at and you go, wow, I didn't expect them to be up in the top 10 or top 15.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Maryland is just outside the top 15, considering the struggles that they've had on the field the last few years. It is kind of a surprise to see Maryland rank so high, especially when that state's been really bleeding the top players in the state. Maryland has become a frequent stop for Big Ten schools, for ACC schools, for SEC schools, and they've had a hard time keeping them. But Mike Locksley, ever since he was at Florida, when he was at New Mexico, Alabama, he's always been known as a recruiter, always been known as one of the best recruiters. In fact, he was one of the first coaches in all of college football to start getting bonuses based on where his recruiting class ranked, which kind of dispelled the longtime myth that coaches said rankings don't matter when there was 50, 60,000 reasons for it to matter. Mike Locksley's been able to overcome kind of an up and down start to his career at Maryland as the head coach by following up with a very good recruiting effort in the last couple of years, culminating with a top 20 class. So when you see Maryland in there and kind of sandwiched between schools that you expect to be there, it is one of those schools that does have you scratching your head a little bit. But if you look at Locksley's history as a recruiter, it's not as surprising as say when Hugh Freeze had Ole Miss in the top 10 or Tennessee with their struggles ended up with a top 10 class.
How did Sark do at Texas?
Sark inherited a large number of these guys that already signed with Tom Herman. It was a top 20 class already when he got there. Now, one of the big things for them is that they've already gotten a commitment from one of the top running backs in the country for next year. He committed yesterday. So they were hoping to get LJ Johnson, who was the top uncommitted back in the state of Texas. It's looking like he's going to choose Texas A&M. But Sark, really the big thing for him was getting that top running back to commit for 2022. And really what it's going to come down to for Sark is, how does he do with the efforts of Quinn Ewers, who was once committed to Texas, decommitted, committed to Ohio State? He's the number one player in the country for 2022. Can Sark get Texas back in it, or is Quinn Ewers a lost cause? But I think considering the timing of when Sark was hired, being in January, he's walking into a pretty well-put-together class. 2022 is going to be that first class we're really going to be able to judge just how well a job Sarkisian is doing as a recruiter at the University of Texas.
Thank you, Brandon. We had a lot of fun looking at the website today, and we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
That's Brandon Huffman, National Recruiting Editor for 24/7 Sports.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.